The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, it was a busy weekend in the Dublin and Wicklow skies with the Bray Air Show drawing huge crowds. Among them, Kevin Byrne, retired Lieutenant Colonel and Airport and Safety and Security Order. And he's with me now. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Was it a good show?
An excellent show. Great show. Went all day, in the afternoon, I should say. But the weather was very kind to us in that the skies were blue and 21 degrees. So we had a huge crowd and a great day out, really. And it was free. Not too much free outdoors today in Ireland, I think.
That's for sure. Now, we want to talk about a more worrying side of things. And
indeed,
there's more detail now on that Potomac air collision on the 30th of January involving an army helicopter.
That's right.
And a civilian airliner.
Yeah, it was a Black Hawk helicopter, call sign PAT-25, and a commercial aircraft going into land on Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport, an airport I know well. And some preliminary data has come out now, which is very disturbing, I think, although it's been classed differently by the US Army itself. The one of the people from the Army testified on behalf of the aviation branch that a discrepancy of 100 feet in the altimeter wouldn't be a cause for alarm, and the aircraft itself, the helicopter which collided with the airliner, was 100 or so feet higher than it should have been over the river.
So they didn't know what height they were at?
Well, they could have been reading 200 or not, but the aircraft's at 300 feet. I found that quite extraordinary as a statement, because the airspace is remarkably compact, as we said, and they're mixing aircraft, jets landing, approaching one runway and then circling to land on a different runway in the dark with people beneath them at separated by just a couple of hundred feet.
So normally the protocol would have been just keep the chopper out of the way until the aircraft lands.
And some controllers did that, but they weren't required to do so because it was an approved low-level path. But the path was at 200 feet above the River Potomac, and the US Air Force wouldn't do it, the Coast Guard didn't do it, but the US Army did it regularly at night. And I can't understand why they didn't use a thing called the radar altimeter, the RADALT. All of the helicopters which can fly in instruments have them. You switch on a switch and it tells you as a readout exactly how high you are over something as calm as the River Potomac, which isn't very turbulent at that time of the year, you know.
So questions to be answered include, you know, why the controller who should have been there wasn't there.
Yes. And the controller who was there was doing two different frequencies. And indeed, more alarming in some ways, the pilots who flew regularly into there for PSA Airlines did not know that there was an approved route for military helicopters and such like down the river. They didn't know about it. So there were two different frequencies talking about, you know, two different times, and one aircraft type being unaware of
the other. Is this being in any way attributed to the cuts made by Trump since he came in? Or was this an accident, as you put it, waiting to happen?
Yeah, it's a phrase I don't like using. But really, they were shaving all of the safety elements time and time again like that. Although the president, commander-in-chief of the forces, did make disparaging comments about the captain under instruction. She was a female and she was being instructed by a chief warrant officer who was highly experienced as an instructor. You know, so it was there for a long time, and only now do they say, although there had been protestations saying this is not a safe thing to do in the dark while people are wearing night vision goggles and that kind of thing. So they stopped it since.
Okay, so that proves it was wrong to begin with.
Really, yes, I think
so. Now, the other big story, I suppose, is the increasing reporting of turbulence and injuries resulting therefrom.
Yes.
Now, most of us have been on a turbulent flight at one point or another, but these are much more dramatic.
Indeed they are. My last upset from clear air turbulence was over Kazakhstan at flight level 350. We hit turbulence, clear air turbulence, over the desert, and my wine spilled. So that was a bit of a shock.
Now, clear air
turbulence, when I say that,
this is something that they cannot see on their weather radar. Is that it?
That's exactly it. All airliners have in the front of them a nose radar, and it's looking ahead at things like, you know, heavy rain, sort of snows, cumulonimbus clouds, stuff that will upset the flight. But last Wednesday, a Delta Airlines flight, an Airbus 330-900, a big, large aircraft with about 60 tons of fuel on board and a full load of passengers. It was flying from Salt Lake City to Amsterdam. So it's a long-range flight. You know, it had cruised at flight level 370 when it hit what is seen to be turbulence, and it went up, not down. It went up by over 1,000 feet in less than 45 seconds, which is very disturbing from that point of view. No warning about it. And then it plummeted another 4,000 feet down to 33,000 feet in about another 2.5 minutes. So it was a heck of a ride, so to speak, and it wasn't known. Everyone thought initially it was a clear air turbulence disturbance, but in fact, when they looked at it, the pilots had failed to note that there was a storm in the area. Six other aircraft over Wyoming, where this aircraft, this flight took place, had in fact asked for track changes to maneuver.
Okay, so
out
they
of the way.
Saw, the, these yes, aircraft saw yeah. what was coming, But this Delta did not.
For reasons that are not yet known, and people are saying there should be an inquiry into it, because 25 passengers had to be taken out and were injured by this disturbance, which was very severe. So if, you know, the people could look ahead, as they should have been doing, to see the storm, they would have asked for a track correction, so to speak.
Now, we had a situation with the Ryanair flight.
Yes, that was a very serious one. Last June, the flight was going from Berlin to Milan with near full load of 179 passengers and 6 crew members. And it hit clear air turbulence completely out of the blue, so to speak. And they had to make an emergency landing. And 8 passengers and 1 crew member were hurt, having diverted the aircraft. So it does happen. It's happening more frequently now. The Americans think that over 279 people have been injured in the last 12 years or so because of clear air turbulence, unknown accidents and upsets.
And then I remember last year in May, there was that Singapore Airlines flight that hit severe turbulence and a 73-year-old British man died.
Yes, and more recently, they think he died of a heart attack because of the event. Dozens were injured and it had to divert. And it happened a second time a week later going into Dublin.
So what can we do? I mean, obviously, the pilots can only see what they see. If there's clear air turbulence ahead, they can't see it.
No, and it comes as a shock to everybody on board. As you know, they have to. The best thing a passenger can do, of course, is to stay strapped in. And I think that should be mandatory now, Pat. It's an option if you're on an aircraft, short range or long haul. They're telling you if you're sitting in the seat, put the belt on. But it should be mandatory, in my opinion.
Which airline is actually serving the food early? Before it reaches the height where the turbulence might be most extreme.
Indeed, I think that's Delta Airlines. They said that if they do it and get it out of the way, there'll be no problem. You know, it's a bit of a rush, though, I think, to do that.
Because you can imagine air stewards and stewardesses with their trolleys, how vulnerable they are.
And they are very vulnerable. And indeed, the most number of crews who are injured, of course, are the cabin crew in the back, because the pilots up the front are strapped in at all times in that regard. But however, rushing the meal might not be to everyone's advantage. And business class people do not like to be served except when they want. They press a bell and say, can I have my meal now?
Now, finally, I should ask you about a report in today's papers that you're safer with a female running the show up front.
I hear that, and I'm not surprised by it, because females are very good at multitasking. They make very good air traffic controllers, where I've experienced them as well. The trouble with it is that aviation is a 24/7 job, as you know, Pat, 7 days a week and so forth, and all year round. And it's not seen as an attractive career in any aspect for females, but that's been changed, I think, in recent times. We had a thing about 20 years ago in the Air Corps where we wanted to get more air traffic, I beg your pardon, we wanted air traffic controllers, we also wanted technicians who fix the aircraft. We went to a special amount of trouble to try and get more females interested, and we did it by going to the school career guidance counsellors, and that worked for a while, but you have to put a special effort out there to show young females that there is a career for you. That's true of flying as well, because to get trained as a pilot, it's a long and arduous track,
sure,
so to speak.
But there are many, many female pilots on Ryanair and on Aer Lingus.
Absolutely. The greatest success for female pilots has actually been with the US Navy and the US Air Force, believe it or not, and they usually move out then into civilian careers, but it's hard to say this is a job for you. They do very well at it, and they're extremely good at it.
Hegseth doesn't want the women, though, does he?
I think not, to the extent that he's dismissing certain people at certain career parts of their life, and that's not acceptable, I think, like that. But females do make extremely good aviators in every sense of that word, and long may it continue.
Kevin Byrne, who is a retired Lieutenant Colonel, Airport Safety and Security Auditor. Kevin, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.